And so just talk about that, just seeking things and what you seek and when you seek things and what happens when you seek things. Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." By the way, the word therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, I've said it many times, you look before to see why it says therefore. If I said to you, therefore go to the store, you'd say why. It says, "Therefore take no thought." Why? And take no thought of what of your life, which you shall eat or drink, or your body, which you shall put on. Why? Because verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. It says, because no man can serve two masters, therefore take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or drink or put on. Because the body is more than the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Verse 26, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they?" I don't know about that verse right now because we found four baby birds yesterday, and we are now feeding the birds. And all day, every day, they are here at church tonight, and all night long. And, well, I had other ideas about what to do with birds. But verse 27, but I have daughters. And verse 27, so I love them, and we're excited about feeding them all day, every day, every hour. Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why? See, God is supposed to feed birds. If God doesn't feed them, verse 28, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto thee, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? That's God's command. Jesus commanded you not to take any thought of what you're going to eat or clothe or put on. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Let me just say, in having said that, it says don't worry at all what you're going to do. That does not mean don't be diligent. However, the Bible says if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel and hath denied the faith. And you have to totally, and I think very few Christians grasp this, in order to do right with your finances and take no thought of it, yet also, if any of it didn't work, you shouldn't eat, and balance those two things out, what you have to do is you work for God. In other words, when I go to a job, I don't work my job so I can be provided for. I'm going to be provided for because God says to provide for me. I'm not going to think about what I'm going to eat or drink or put on. God's commanded to take care of that. And by the way, that's why in my budget, when we buy things, the last thing that we do is food and clothing. If we have to cut anything out, it's food and clothing because God says he'll provide for those things. And so we don't worry about that. And if we don't have money, we'll put that aside and pay all our other bills. You got to pay your bills. And then we'll let God provide the food, and he always has, as you can see. And verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. They seek after clothing and food and money and all these things. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. It's not like you go to God and say, God, you know I need food. And God says, oh, really? He designed the human body. He knew that. And he knows that you need that. But, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Just thrown in into the deal, if you'll seek his kingdom first. And by the way, if you... The worst thing about being a lukewarm Christian is you're not really seeking God's kingdom enough first to make God provide for you, and yet you're not really worldly enough to just live for money. And so you kind of get the worst of both worlds sometimes. But if you can seek God's kingdom first. Verse 34, therefore take no thought, again, verse 31 said that, and verse 25 said that, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought unto for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I've taught on this recently, but it is so hard to teach Americans not to worry about the future. We are so future plan program people, and it's so hard to say today's fine, take care of today. And the Bible says take no thought of tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. You don't worry about tomorrow. It's hard to do that. I want to focus especially on verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, and then verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God The Gentiles seek after clothing and food and money and all these things. We are supposed to seek God's kingdom first. So, if I'm working for God, that means I go to my job, whatever it is, and I'm diligent and work hard and go the extra mile, then I'm working for God and God's going to provide my needs if I'm seeking His kingdom first. If I'm seeking this kingdom first, I may get my needs met because God put me in a prosperous land because I work hard, and that's fine. However, God would promise to meet your need if you're seeking Him first. So if you'll put Him first, God will provide, and He will do that. He promises He will do that. I want to talk to you about when you seek things. And so let's go ahead and pray and talk about it. Father, thank you for your word, and may your spirit now control. And I pray tonight that we would get out what you want. We have many verses to read, Father, and I pray that as you read these verses and explain your word on this subject, I pray we'd get your heart for seeking things, Father, and understand your way. And may we seek with diligence the right things and not seek the wrong things, Father. And we just thank you for your word, and thank you for your power and what it says to us, Father. And I just pray you'd empower me and say what you want said tonight. When we go away from Sunday saying, the Lord met with us and spoke to us. And may we also be able to leave and say, and I did what God spoke to me about. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This young Christian, I don't know exactly what it was. It's God's drawing, I guess. But me and my friend Roman, we had something burning inside of us when we got saved. And I don't know if God put it there, if it's something built in, I'm sure God put it there one way or another. But we just wanted more of God. Now, I was very weak, and I had no character, and I didn't think that I could really become a good Christian. I looked at the Christians I knew who grew up in great circumstances and good homes, and I said, man, I can never be like them. But boy, I want to know God, and I want to be close to Him. And there was a longing for God. And I really said, I really got to get to know God and get close to God, and I really want to be a good Christian and know God personally. And it wasn't just like what you fed me I would take. We were studying the Bibles for our Bibles for hours on our own. We were praying for God to do something. We were after something, and something was burning in there, and He wanted something above and beyond. And really, my verse became, if you go back just to Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of times I claim that verse to God. You said, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I'm not very righteous, but I'm hungry and thirsting for it, and you said you'd fill it. And that verse really kept me going because I really wanted to be a great Christian, and I needed God to do that miracle, but I hungered and thirsted after it. And hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a way of seeking. We are all seeking things with our lives. A few people, very, very few people, you probably don't know anybody who does this. You might know one or two but very few of us know anybody who is not seeking anything with life. Most people are seeking something. Now, when somebody is suicidal or severely depressed or hopeless, they don't do anything but just pass the time, and they don't seek anything. But everybody in this room here is seeking something. You are with your life. Now, you might not say, I don't know what I'm seeking. Five questions we could find that out and what you're seeking with your life. But you're seeking something. You might be seeking a happy retirement. That's what people live for. And you might be seeking a good job, or you might be seeking a marriage relationship. And I'm not saying these are good or bad. Most people are seeking happiness, seeking peace. Some people are seeking fame. Some people are seeking adventure. There's people who literally travel the entire world. I read about two 17-year-olds who started at the North Pole and went straight down through North America, through South America, went down through Chile, went down and then hopped down to Antarctica and went all the way. They're 17-year-olds and just had nothing better to do with their lives, and their parents are rich, and they just went. And they were just seeking adventure. And some people seek adventure. Some people seek relationships. People seek different things. Some people seek political office. And you're seeking something with your life. You're looking for something with your life. Most people would break down, if you just put it in one word, it'd be happiness. I'm seeking to be happy. And now they might go through all kinds of things to get to that happiness. They might be trying drugs to get to the happiness. They might be trying immorality to get the happiness. They might be trying entertainment to get the happiness. But most people are seeking something with their lives. And I'm sure you could think about what you're seeking. And that's one of the things I want you to do today, is think about your life. Because if you don't focus your life, you just kind of naturally seek things that you kind of naturally want. And life's too short to just wander. older people nod their head, and people over about 30 say, yeah, it's true. Man, life's too short. It flies by. And when you're young, you think, oh, I have lots of time to do everything. But if you're not focused in life and you're just wandering around, Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost, period. That's what I'm here for. One sentence he told everybody his whole entire life. And you got to decide, because if you do not focus your life to seek something, you by default, the default for human beings is mediocrity. And you got to seek some certain thing. When we started this church, we had a certain thing in mind. We are seeking a certain thing. We are not seeking to build a big church. That's not what we're seeking. We're not seeking to take people out of the churches. We're not seeking to make me rich or famous. We're not seeking to have a big building. We're not seeking those things. They all might come along. They all might be bonuses. What we're seeking is to please God. We're seeking to let Him build a church. We're seeking, and you got to focus in life. Life is too short not to be focused, and otherwise just kind of wander around. You're the person who says, I really need to get a career going, and you get to be 30 and 35, and you know what? I'm going to go to college. Well, it's not as easy to go to college when you're 35 as when you're 18 or 19. And if you don't have a focused life and decide to seek something, you kind of just by default go into mediocrity. You eventually find what you are seeking after. You eventually find what you're seeking after. Therefore, decide what you want to seek after with your life. If you don't remember what you're seeking after and don't know, you won't find it. You ever do like I do? My memory lapses sometimes. You ever go searching for something and look and look and look, and you just look for so long you forget what you're looking for? And you're wandering around, you're walking room to room, and you're looking around, and you start lifting things like, what am I looking for? You just don't even know what you're looking for anymore. And you know what? Guess what? If you don't know what you're looking for, you usually don't find it. You probably picked it up. I'm looking for that piece of paper. Where is it? And you don't know what you're looking for, and you just wander around. And if you don't know what you're looking for in life, you don't know what you're seeking, and Jesus in Matthew 6 very specifically says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You must focus on what you're looking for. So focus your seeking. You will get there. The word seek in the Hebrew is bakash. It means to search out, to strive after. So let me give you some things. First of all, do not spend your life seeking after. Do not spend your life seeking after financial things. And we see that in Matthew 6, verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. So, do not spend your life seeking after riches and wealth. Now, I have no problem. I want to plan a retirement. I want to pay my bills. I pay my bills. We plan things and all that stuff. I'm not saying do not be like the ant, and the ant prepares for winter and the summer, and that's fine. But seeking is what you're really looking after and living for. And where is that thing? You know, when you're seeking things, you're not paying attention to anything else. You're just looking for what you're looking for. Do not just live your life seeking after financial things. Number two, don't seek your own selfish desires and own selfish things. Philippians 2:21 is one verse on that, and I'm going to be all over the Bible tonight. If you want to turn there, you can. If you can get there fast, if you can keep up. But I'm going to be reading a lot of verses tonight all over the Bible. Paul said, "For all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Bible says, look not every man in the things of himself, but every man also in the things of others. Do not just seek your own happiness. If you seek your own happiness, you will be a cheapskate with your money. You will be a person who's mean in your life. You will be grumpy at everybody, and your children will be grumpy because they inconvenience you, and your spouse, all you care about is what they can do for you. And you become a very self-centered person and a very unhappy person if you just seek your things for yourself. Happy people are unselfish people and don't just seek their own selfish things. And I'm just giving a few things briefly not to seek. Number three, don't seek vain things. Don't seek vain things. Let me take you to Psalms. I'll read a lot of verses out of Psalms tonight, but we'll be in some other spots. But Psalms chapter 4 is what I've written down. I'm not sure if that's right, but maybe it is. That's it. Psalms 4 and verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Not seek after vain things. We read in Isaiah 55 where it says, why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Do not labor after things that do not matter. Vain means useless. Do not seek after things that do not matter. How many of you wish you could have had money that you blew when you're a little bit younger and not quite as wise. How many wish you had some of that money back? And you bought something that at the time was the most important thing in the entire world, wasn't it? And then you look back and say, that wasn't the most important thing in the entire world. But you know what? That's what you're seeking after. I was laughing at myself. I was joking in a message recently about people who spend $600 on their wheels. And then I drove by a tire store. Do you know how much they spend on those fancy wheels? Brother Andy, you sell those things, don't you? It's not $600 for fancy wheels. We're talking more than I pay for cars. They pay for their wheels. You know what? You can have your wheels that spin while you're not moving. Go ahead. I'll take the money. You can have wheels that are this big and tires that are this big on your four-wheel drive Escalade. I'm sure you're taking that in the mountains. And you spend your money. You know how much people spend on dumb stuff? I'm not against buying toys. I don't know. I mean, there are things that are fun to have and aren't that expensive, or some things that are somewhat expensive, but they're something you're going to use a whole bunch of times. Then there is $1,500 car stereos. And then there is, you know how much money gamers spend on video games? Them guys are weird, man. You ever meet these guys? They're weird dudes. They got problems here. I think the guy who spends $2,000 on a set of wheels is not as weird as a gamer who spends $250 on a joystick. It's not called joystick anymore, is it? I'm outdated here. A gamepad. It is amazing what people spend their money on because they thought that's what they're seeking after. It's the most important thing in their life, and I got to have this thing. And you know what? We seek after vain things that don't really matter. How many years did some of us waste of our life messing around? Proverbs teaches us some other things. Mischief. Do not seek after mischief. And Proverbs, let me just read a verse here from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good, procureth favor. And he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. Some people diligently seek good. Some people seek mischief. Don't seek mischief. Don't seek rebellion. Chapter 17. And verse 11. Evil men seek only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let me illustrate this in life with seeking good things and things that matter and seeking not things. Take college. If you go to college, there are people there who are there to learn and graduate and get things. And then there's other people who are there. And they are there and there and there. And they just keep on messing around and partying, and they're just there to mess around, and they're not seeking. And you know what? They're there. They're there 5 or 6 years of life, and they're still a sophomore. They're not getting anywhere because they aren't focused. And the other guy they're laughing about, he doesn't do anything fun. He doesn't know anything. Hey, he's studying. That's why he's at college. And he graduates in 4 years. And you're still not with a diploma, and he's out working in the field because he's focused. And his mind is saying, I'm going to do this thing. I am focused on doing this. And that person just wandering around life and just doing things. Do not live your life like that spiritually. Do not seek vain things. Do not seek mischief. Do not seek financial things. Do not seek your selfish things. Do not seek rebellion. Let me give you some things that are worth seeking. And just a few things. But we see, first of all, God's kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's eternity. That's heaven. Are you seeking the things of eternity? See, if you don't seek God's kingdom first, you can't take persecution and rejoice in it. Because you're seeking this world and you want to get the person back. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Get millions and millions of dollars, folks. And you know what? Can I tell you? When you die, you just realize how much time you wasted. Most of us who have gotten wise have said, you know what? I'm not even dead yet, but I've realized how much time I've wasted, and I wish I wouldn't waste that time I've wasted. It is important to seek eternity in God's kingdom and the kingdom of God. Number one, the things that matter to God and eternity and righteousness. Number two, seek God's righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So seek God's righteousness. Are you hungry and thirsty after righteousness, as we read in Matthew 5? Are you really desiring God's righteousness? Are you seeking really to get something from God? See, here's what I want you to understand here. In life, you can take what's handed to you. In church, you can take what's handed to you. And I'm going to hand you good Bible truth. I'm going to give you good stuff. And my church handed me good stuff. And you're going to get enough. But you know what? There are some people who seek more. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, you can learn a whole bunch from Open Door from the Bible. But you know what? Some of you are going to get hungry to know a lot more. And I can't give you everything you need in three services. I can give you a whole, I'll read a lot of verses tonight, and I'll teach you a lot of Bible. But you know what? You need to seek. And when I started serving God, can I just tell you? I said, God, I want to know your word so bad. I don't care what you show me. I'll believe it. I don't care anything. I don't care if you show me anything's right. If a Mormon's right, a Jehovah's Witness right. I don't care if a Pentecostal's right, Lord. I need your word. I'm seeking the truth of the Bible. And I sought the truth of the Bible. I sought it so bad. When I wanted to understand a doctrine, I memorized every single verse on that doctrine in the Bible. Whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's eternal security, whether it's the rapture, every single verse in the entire Bible that I could find on that subject, I memorized the verse because I sought, I hungered to know the truth of God. I sought to know the truth. And then I began to seek for the power of the Holy Spirit, and I sought for the, and I didn't just want to be, okay, I'm okay. And I wanted to seek for something better because he said, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. I wanted to be a seeker of God, a seeker of power, a seeker of good things, a seeker of righteousness. And instead of just being a person shallow enough to say, well, what's wrong with this? Can you be a person who seeks enough to say, Lord, I'm seeking really pure holiness. Lord, what's right with this? Lord, I'm seeking holiness. I am seeking righteousness in my life. I'm not content with just being an average Christian. I want to be, hey, John the Baptist among men is the greatest who ever lived. Well, I want to tie him. And I want to do great things for God. I don't want to be just another Christian. I want God to look at me and say, oh, you're fine. No. I want God to look at me and say, whoa, man, angels, get ready. Here he comes. That's the man right there. That one sought me and loved me and really desired me. And he wanted to do something big for me. And he sought great things instead of just, thank you. Thank you. And the average Christian does seek righteousness. Next, seek wisdom. I teach on that a lot. But Proverbs chapter 2. And on all these points, I could read many more verses, but Proverbs 2:2. So if thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, if you'll seek her. Do you really seek wisdom? See, you can get wisdom taught to you. Your dad or mom can sit down and say, let me teach you. Here is how you balance a checkbook. And here is how you do this. And you can get knowledge by giving to you. But the Bible says those that seek knowledge and those that seek wisdom, find it. Those, you know what wise people are? They are people who pick people's brains. They are people who are very observant. They are people who aren't just saying, foolish people are saying, you know what? I don't need to hear this. I already know it. The average person says, you know what? Okay, I'll listen to you. The really wise person says, whether you try to teach me or not, I'm going to get something from you. I'm going to gain some knowledge. I am seeking wisdom. And that's a seeker of wisdom. That's a person who's desiring wisdom and a person who really wants it badly. What things should you seek in your life? What things should you look for and search for? What should you try to find that is lost? You should seek wisdom and righteousness and God's kingdom and seek after those things. You should also seek after heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14 through 16, it says, for they sought for a heavenly kingdom. And we should look for that heavenly kingdom whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11 says, we should seek after heaven. You know, you should put more investment into your heavenly home than you do in this earthly home. If you have a whole home like mine, it takes some effort too. We have some projects, we'll say. But you know what? You should be seeking heaven, thinking about heaven, looking forward to heaven. And by the way, why is it that young people have not learned how to look forward to heaven? Old people, they say, you know what, man, I can't wait to get a new body. I can't wait to give up all the problems of this earth. Young people, it's time for you as a child to seek God's kingdom and look forward to heaven and be excited about going to heaven and being walking on streets of gold and being with God. Heaven, seek heaven. Next, seek the word of God. Psalms 119. Seek the word of God. Seek knowledge of God. I never really cared, to be honest with you, about being a Baptist. Never really cared about who I got taught from. Never really cared about all that stuff. You know what I cared about? I cared about knowing this Bible. I cared what the Bible said. Baptists are wrong, then Bible's right. If Pentecostals are wrong, then Bible's right. If I'm wrong, the Bible's right. I seek to know what this book says. I desire passionately a hunger to know the Word of God. I desire to preach what God has me to preach, to know what the Bible says. I need the Bible's wisdom in my life. I need to seek after what the Bible says. I cannot just say, fine, whatever you tell me is fine. I will be like those at Berea that search the Scriptures daily to see if such things are so. Seek the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. Go forward to verse 155. Seeking to know the Bible. Seeking the truth of the Word of God. Seeking knowledge of the Bible. Seeking to memorize it. Seeking to study it. Verse 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Seek the Word of God. How hungry are you to really know what God says? How hungry are you to memorize the Bible and search the Scriptures and know the answers to your life? This book has every answer you need in life. Do you hunger for it? Seek the Word of God. Next, book of Luke. Well, I can just quote it to you. But you know what you're supposed to seek? Some good things to seek? Seek the lost. Seek the lost. Bible said Jesus Himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I want to say this real importantly here. It says seek the lost. You're looking for something. And if you're not looking for the lost, Christianity waiting for the lost to seek them. I'm looking for the lost to come seek me out and ask me how to be saved. That's not the Bible says. You just came to seek and to save. You're looking for the lost. You're seeking those who are lost. The parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep. They went and sought the lost sheep. They went and sought the lost coin. They went and looked for it. Listen, how diligent are you about seeking the lost? If all of a sudden the person who lived in your house before, you know, it's fun about our house. Our house was built in 1947, I think. And we find the craziest things in our yard. We find old, what do we find? We find axe handles and we find all kinds of tools. We don't know what they are. And it's always an adventure. We got to get a metal detector one of these days and go through our yard and find little things. And we found fishing poles hidden in attics and all kinds of things. What if the person who lived in your house or your apartment before called you and said, listen, you know what? I am running from the police and I've moved off to Panama. But I'm just letting you know, there is in your house about $300,000 in gold, if you can find it. Now, would you seek like you seek for a lot of things? I can't find it. Oh, well. No. You know what you do? Well, you know what you do? Like when you got to go somewhere and you can't find your keys. Where are those stupid things? Who lost these? Throwing things around. You dig in the couch of doom and hope no creature grabs your arm and pulls you in. I mean, you go look for everything. And you're digging around. I mean, you're just, I got to find this thing. You start tearing out drywall. You turn over everything. You'd pull up carpet. You'd dig in the basement. You'd go up in the attic. I don't care if you're afraid of spiders. You have $300,000 hiding in your house. You're gonna go in there, raid in hand, ready to attack anything. And you're gonna dig and look through and pull up insulation and dig through everything. And you're gonna look and dig and dig and dig. Why? Because you want that thing, so you're really gonna seek it. And then your friend calls you back and said, "April Fools." But you would seek after that, wouldn't you? How diligent would you be? You have a soul who's going to go to heaven and hell forever, and you can't seek after them, look for them, try to find them, talk to them, find an opportunity, pray for God to open the door, seeking to save. And let me say the biggest thing I want to spend the whole rest of the message on, the biggest thing to seek is the Lord. Biggest thing to seek is the Lord. I'm going to read out of Amos. If you can't find it, don't worry about it. Amos, seek the Lord. Amos chapter 6. Have you open a couple windows for me, buddy? It is kind of stuffy in here. Amos 6. I'm sorry, it's actually Amos 5. I wrote Amos 6, it's Amos 5. Verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek me, and ye shall live. Verse 6. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out the fire in the house of Joseph. Verse 8, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. Verse 14, seek God and not evil, or seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let me go back to Psalms with you and read a bunch of verses out of Psalms. The biggest thing God emphasizes is to seek him. Psalms chapter 24. I'm just going to read a lot of verses out of Psalms here and talk to you for a few minutes about seeking the Lord. Psalms chapter 24 and verse 6. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, that seek him, that seek his face. Psalms 34. Watch God start promising things to them that seek him. Psalms 34 and verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, even strong, healthy lions. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalms chapter 40. Seeking God, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Such as seek thee, rejoice. If you Psalms chapter 69. Seeking the Lord. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 69. Verse 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your hearts shall live that seek God. Psalms 105. Psalms 105, verse 3. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Can I say this for a second? God wants you to seek him. And a strange thing is, God is very near you. And we read a verse in Acts in a little while that says this, but he hides himself a little bit. In other words, God's not down the street. God's just hiding. This thing is not big enough for me. Hiding behind this thing. And he's just hiding right around you. But he says, I want you to look for me. It's like a woman playing hard to get. She wants to be found, but she doesn't want it to be easy. And she wants you to really want her. And the Lord says, I want you to seek me. Yes, I'm going to come and seek you and save you, and I want to save you, but you know what? I'm talking to people now over Psalms, and I'm saying, I want you to seek me. I sought you, I found you when you were lost sheep, but now I want you to really seek me and come after me and say, Lord, I want to get close to you. I want to find you, Lord. Where are you in my life? I'm seeking you to do something. I'm seeking your power. I'm seeking to be close to you. I'm seeking to love you and be closer to you, God. And God says, I like that. I like Brian's setting up his ministry, and it's called Seeking Revival. Seeking revival. It is time for us to get hungry and seek after some things, and especially the Lord. If we can't seek and to say that which is lost, and we can't seek after the God of the universe, can I tell you, you long for God. You might not know that longing in your heart is God, but you long to know God and be close to him, and nothing else will satisfy. Jesus says, I am that water that satisfies your thirst, and you'll never thirst again. People try alcohol, they try drugs, they try friendship and immorality and all kinds of things in the world. What they're really seeking is God. And now that we know that, we need to seek to get close to God, because God doesn't want to always be easily found and just hand you everything. He wants you to say, do you want me or not? And he says, those who want me, I'm going to give a special reward to for those who really seek after me. I want you to seek after me and not be satisfied. Watch this. Notice the Lord marks those who don't seek him. In Romans chapter 3, he says, I'm disappointed, I'm frustrated, and I'm angry because nobody's seeking after me anymore. It's Romans 3, verse 11. We all know there is none righteous, no, not one, verse 10. But verse 11, he talks about being sought after. Verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. God says, and he's quoting out of the Old Testament there, and he says there's none out of Psalms. He says, there is none anymore that really seek after me. And he said, I'm frustrated with that. I don't like that. They're wicked. Do you seek after God? One of the hardest things, and this is one reason that the first generation Christians always shake the world. It's why D.L. Moody and the Spurgeons and these first generation Christians, the Apostle Paul, they shake the world. Because they're hungry for God and they want to know God. And the problem that happens, unfortunately, with second generation Christians, my children will be second generation Christians, then their children will be third generation Christians. The problem is the second and third generation Christians get used to things being handed to them. Just like the person who goes and builds a business, a very successful business, he goes and hands that business and the money to the child. The child doesn't care. Who cares about this? I was talking to my uncle, and he runs that huge farm in Idaho. Huge, huge, huge farm. Tens of thousands of acres. And big farm. I said, what are you going to do with the farm? He says, in farming, as I've watched, we used to have 70 farms in the area. We have 13 left in the area. He says, the surest way to destroy your farm is divided among the children. He says, whichever one of my kids wants to get interested and take over the farm will get the farm. Because they'll care about it. And when you just go and get something given to you, you say, okay, this is fine, good enough, take a bite to eat. Some people say, you know what, just hand me whatever food you want me to eat. Okay, give me bread and butter, fine, I'll just eat it because that's what I got. Other people say, you know what, I'm looking for a good meal. And some people are saying, you know what, whatever I get taught and whatever I learn and whatever you feed me is fine. And I'll take it and I'll be happy with that. And that happens with older Christians from generational. They just say, okay, you handed me that. Just like the person with the old money who goes out and just can spend their money and not even care about how the business does. And you don't care about how Christianity does because you never made it your own. You never made Christ your own. You never sought after God personally. And you just inherit what you got and just sit there content with that. Do not do that. Seek after God. I long for you, God. I want to see you do something big and I want to know you personally. I want to be near to you, God. Long after God. Seek after God. Don't just be content with what you are handed. Go back to Acts chapter 17. This is the verse I really, really, really want to focus on as we get towards the end here. Those who seek him, he will be found of them. Acts 17. And go forward to verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if happily he might be, they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The phrasing there is fascinating. God wanted them to seek after him, if happily, perhaps, they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. Okay, Sai, come on up here. So, I'm a Christian, and Josiah is God. Now, I'm going to go and I'm going to seek after God here. Bible says, though, they have to feel after him. See, God didn't just stand right here in front of you and say, here I am. God says, I want you to want me. I want you to look for me. It'd be like a guy walking up to a lady and saying, you know what? I can't find anybody else. I guess you're good enough. And that's not a good pickup line. So God says, I want you to want me. And he says, you got to feel after me because you don't know right where I am. And so we are blind. We know God is in the Bible. We know that. But you know what? You got to seek after him in the Bible. He wants us to do a little looking. And so God says, you can't see me, and I've got to go find God. And so I have to feel after him, and God says, I want to be found of you. So he makes sure I am found of him. And he makes sure of that. Go sit down for a sec. But look what it says here. If haply they feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You understand? God is not hiding way, way, way away in the best corner, in the darkest spot. Listen, he is not trying not to be found, but he does really want to reward those who say, Lord, I'm looking for, I want to find you, God. And he says, you know what? Feel after me. Come, try to find me. I'm right here. I want you to find me. I'm right here. Just look a little bit. Just seek after me. You ever played hide and go seek and nobody could find you and it got boring? My best hiding spot when I was a little tiny, very, very thin kid was our dryer. How many of you could fit the dryer at some point in your life? Okay? And by the way, if you really close the door, then they're not going to find you. And then it gets boring after a while. You're like laying there, and then you start thinking, do they quit? Are they all like laying around laughing at me? They all don't care anymore. They can't find me. And it's not fun anymore because you kind of want them to at least quit or something or tell you they can't find you, but it gets boring after a while. You want the game to go on. And God says, I want somebody who looks like, I got all these Christians out there everywhere, but I want somebody to go, Lord, I really want more than this. God says, come seek me. You'll be found to me. And can I tell you, when I really sought the Lord as a young Christian, said, Lord, I want something more. I want to know you better. I want to be a greater Christian. I want more power. I want to know your word like nobody, Father. You know what? Those things got fulfilled. I think you'll find I've got some Bible knowledge that's pretty unusual. I think God's blessed me in some ways, and I've got some pretty good fruit that God gave me. And you'll find out that those who seek God, God says, found me, you win, because he wanted to be found. Just like the girl with the perfect man who's looking for her, but says, you know what? Let me think about this. Oh, those are nice flowers. I've had lots of guys give me nice flowers. I want to see if this guy really likes me. Nowadays, the guys are all so wimpy. Okay, I give up. I'm going to find an easy girl. Because men are wimpy nowadays. But you know what? God likes when somebody seeks after him and looks for him and tries to find him. How are you supposed to seek God? The Bible says with all your heart. With all of your heart. Let me just read a couple of verses. Jeremiah. With all your heart. That's what you're seeking after. If you found out. That's when I said, if you had $300,000 in your house, Brian says, it's on. That's why, that's seeking with all your heart. Seek after God with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. First of all, seek him with all your heart. Secondly, seek him early. Psalm 63, verse 1. My soul longeth for thee. I will seek you early, he says. And the Bible says, they that seek me early shall find me. And then thirdly, while he is near. So Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 55, verse 6, say, seek the Lord while he is near. Call upon him while he may be found. See, many Christians think, well, God's near me, and I'm going to do this later. I'm going to change my life later. I'm going to get rid of this sin later. I'm going to get close to God later. Sometimes God says, okay, I'm calling you. Come get me. You think you're going to go to that beautiful woman and go and say, you know what? I got you right now, but you know what? I'm going to come back to you in 10 years and marry you. Call upon the Lord while he's near. God sometimes does not keep calling. It's time to call upon him while he's near. If God has stirred your heart to seek him and to seek great things, hey, guess what? Go after him and seek after him and hunger and thirst and fast and pray and ask God to be near to you and ask God to, I want you, God, I want to be near to you, Lord. I want to love you more. There's so many great hymns. More love to thee, O Christ. Draw me nearer and nearer, precious Lord. Seeking God, wanting to be close to him, knowing him better, going above and beyond. You don't have to do it. I know, it's not a command. But it's something that you should have a passion for, is getting close to God and really seek after God and seek after him and knowing him and seek after revival and seek after power and seek after prayer. Seek after God. A man was very, very wealthy, and he went out, and there was many, many children wandering around in the forest, and and he heard about all of them, and there was 20 children in the forest, and he wandered around the forest and he sought them. And he went and he found one kid at a time. He says, oh, good to find you. You look hungry, you look miserable, your clothing's torn, where have you been sleeping? You know what? I want you to come to my house. Seeks another one. He says, you know where the other kids are? Let's help me go find some other kids. And the other kids help them go find some other kids. And they wander around the forest and wander around the wilderness. And they find eventually all 20 kids that they're looking for. He takes those 20 kids to a house. And he says, okay, come on inside. We got some food for you here. We got some shelter. We'll give you some clothes. He takes him in the house. He gives him some clothing. He gives him some food. Eh, it's nothing fancy. It's bread and butter, and it's toast, and it's cereal, and it's you know, gives him enough food to get him by, and peanut butter and jelly, and gives him some milk and some water, and says, all right, I found y'all. Now, we're going to play a game of hide and seek. I'm going to go out and I'm going to hide, and I want you to come find me. And off he darts out the door. He darts out the door, he runs out the forest, and most of the kids say, you know what? I'm happy, and I'm sleepy, and you know what? This house is nice, and he gave us this house, and this is good enough. And you know what? There's more food in that kitchen, and I'm going to stay right here. And boy, about 15 of those kids just hung around. They got back, laid on the couch, laid on the floor, found a bed, laid down, some took a bath, and they just hung around that house. About five of the kids go wandering out. And they go chasing out in the forest, and they go looking around. And two of them, a little boy and a little girl, are very determined. And boy, they are really, really searching. And you know what? Those five kids, they search, and they search, and they search for a few hours. But one of the kids says, you know what? He's really hitting good. I don't want to find him. I'm going back home. And he goes back home. Another couple of kids keep searching about 4 or 5 or 6 hours, but it starts getting dark. And those couple kids, they go back to the house and say, man, he is too well hidden. But the two other kids said, he said for us to find him, and he wants us to find him. You know what? I'm going to keep searching. They start going to the hard places. They start climbing trees and looking around the forest. They start going through the blackberry bushes and crawling underneath, and they start really searching hard, and it gets pitch black, and they can't see anymore. But they keep wandering, and they find trails and look around all night long. They say, I really want to find him. I love that man. He's very good to me, and I want to be with him. And he said for us to find him, and I want to obey him, and I'm going to seek after him. And they look and look and look, and that last boy and the last girl in their wandering eventually come, and they come through into an opening. And in that opening, they see sitting on a chair, there is that man. This is the next day. They've been searching all night. They are torn up. They are tired. They are hungry. And they found him. And look in the background, and there is a huge mansion. Swimming pool. He has everything there. A huge playground. The other house is just a house. It was a lot better than what they had, and it was nice. They were happy about it. And they had food there, and those kids were fine, and everything was just fine, and they were comfortable, and the man was never going to kick them out of that house, and they were just fine, and they were blessed to even have that place. But these two kids, he takes in the house, says, kid, look at this. This is a chocolate fountain. You can eat all you want. We've got 5 refrigerators here and freezers. Every kind of food you want, any kind of meat, any kind of dessert. And in this house, you never get sick from eating ice cream. Everything you eat is delicious. And everything you eat, you love. And you never get cranky. And you know what? You guys are going to dwell in this house. And you know what? Anytime you want to go, you can go to the playground. You can go to the swimming pool. You can go play around. This house has a Ferris wheel on the back of it. And you've got every little toy and every little gadget and every little video game and every little thing. And this house has got a trampoline in it. And it's got everything in the world. This is a mansion. It's anything you could dream of in this house. It's here. I've got this huge bed. And you can jump from the second story into this bed. And it is so soft and comfortable. And you've got your very own huge room, and your room is bigger than this room here, and you can play in there, and you've got the best puppies here. Look at these puppies, your favorite kind of puppy I got for you. And look at it, you guys are going to have the best time of your life because you sought me. And I wanted you to find me and take you to really where the good stuff is. And that's the Christian life. Many Christians say, man, I got saved, God sought me, somebody won me to Christ. Whew. Praise the Lord. God's going to provide for me, and I'm going to go to heaven, and that's good. That's nice. And you know what? It's a great life just being a Christian and being saved and going to heaven. Praise the Lord. But God's saying, I want you to feel after me and seek me. I want somebody who wants me. I want somebody who hungers after me. I want somebody to seek me. I want somebody to say, I want him. Where is the Lord? I want to find you, God. I want somebody who really wants me, not, oh, I guess I'll take you. I want somebody who really wants to be close to me. Somebody who really wants to know me. Somebody who really wants to dwell in my presence. I want someone who wants to go into my tabernacle and be with me in the very presence. I want somebody who wants to know my word and know my power and see my blessing. I want someone to seek me. It's good to seek God's kingdom. It's good to seek righteousness. It's good to seek wisdom. It's good to seek heaven. It's good to seek the word of God. It's good to seek the lost. But God wants some people who really want him and aren't just saying, okay, God, thank you for saving me. It's a nice day. He wants someone to go above and beyond and be passionate. My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul longeth for thee. As in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, as the deer pants after the water brook, Lord, so longeth my soul after thee. I'm going to seek you. I need to know you, God. That's not for every Christian. It's not for every church. Maybe tonight you'll be a person who quits seeking after things that don't matter. and begin to seek in things that do matter, and maybe just one or two of you, maybe can be a person who will seek after God in a passionate, real way where you long to really be different and really get close to God. Everybody gets to be saved, but not everybody dwells in his tabernacle. The seekers get that. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that we'd be seekers of you. Lord, you warned us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Gentiles seek after the things of the world. Lord, I pray first of all just the basic middle school lesson of Christianity is don't seek the world and the things that don't matter. I pray we'd all get that, Father. I pray some of us would go into high school level of spirituality and begin.